This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo, just when you thought it was safe to put on a podcast, the legend continues. Place to Be Nation presents Freak Out Drive-In with Jennifer Smith.
My weapon is large for bodies, I'm strapped for battle. My soul is in the crossroads and highs fulfilling. Somewhere deep inside the spirit to rise the killer.
Hi, welcome to Freak Out Drive-In. I'm your hostess, Jennifer Smith. Today we are going to watch the Kevin Smith movie from 2016. It is called Yoga Hosers. And I almost said Hoosiers, but I'm pretty sure it's Hosers. Anyway, I'm going to watch this horror film with my friend, the manager, Todd Weber. Todd picked this movie for reasons that I'm unsure of, and maybe some of you could tell me what they are. So I won't spoil anything, but it's a fun conversation. I learned a little bit more about Todd. It seems like every time I do a pod with him, I find out a little bit something extra about his life, about his upbringing, and lots of little hidden gems here in this episode. And then we watch the movie too. So let me know what you think about this one. We were very low on it. So just, you know, shoot me a tweet or something. I'm at JennyCruz2814. Todd is at Todd Weber Guitar on Twitter. You can also hear us on a bunch of different Place to Be Nation shows and ventures. And speaking of which, I want to tell you a little bit about Place to Be Nation. Avengers Endgame is a pretty big deal, and we have you covered with two spoiler-filled reviews. Myself, the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Greg and Nick, Tim and Sam Neely, we go into sort of a group therapy session for an emotional look at Endgame. And then Andy Atherton and Miranda, my beautiful partner on Geek and Sassy, Miranda, they give you their thoughts and views as well on a separate episode. So you have two spoilerific reviews of Endgame to listen to. And then Andy welcomes an all-star cast for the summer movie preview edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back, which I was also on, and it was a ton of fun, so listen to that. Russell Sellers and Stephen Ferrari look at Dark Side War on DC Post-Crisis Management, episode number 7. The NBA team dig into round 2 of the NBA playoffs. The manager, Todd Weber, continues to review the last season of Game of Thrones in this installment of Binge Please. I think he said it was a few episodes behind on that, but just keep your podcast app ready for more Game of Thrones little, like, 5-minute recaps of every episode every week. The Cowboy and John D'Amato are here with a new This Week in Sports, breaking down the NFL draft and round 2 of the NBA playoffs. And then the Hard Traveling Fanboys were joined by Todd, and they go off the page to relive the Shazam TV series in a very funny episode. And Steve and Kelly are back with Songs with Friends on episode number 26. And they talk Bewitched and Natalie Imbruglia, which I've never been able to say her name. But I love that song anyway, so listen to that one. And then coming up at the end of this month of May, the Hard Traveling Fanboys will be wrapping up their Hard Travelers for Hire series with a special giant size edition of the podcast. So they want you to send in your full ranking of the MCU movies from 1 to 22 to NickD at placetobenation.com. And then all of those ballots will be scored, and then they will have an all-star panel for their giant-sized edition of Hard Traveling Fanboys, which I will also be on, and hopefully will not cry. So on the wrestling feed, Scott and Nate welcome Andy Atherton on the edition of Main Event, and they do a mini great debate before diving into two big Okada matches. In the second episode of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben Zanny welcomes Al Getz to talk about visiting MLB stadiums and UFC events, and then brings in Lane to talk the Scenic City Showdown. Myself and Tim Capel and Greg Phillips did another fantastic episode of Talking WCW, in which we looked at some stiff as fuck Steiner Brothers matches in an episode that I very much love. Over on the Mothership, Justin and Scott brought in John D'Amato and Steve Minnick to deep dive into the build-up for WrestleMania 5. Greg and Nick, they also deliver Episode 3 of What If, exploring a world where Daniel Bryan stays healthy after WrestleMania 30. And Jeff is back in an episode of Jeff Learns Wrestling, in which they sort of talk about WrestleMania 6, and then most notably talk about JT's interesting experience with his grandmother's funeral, of all things. Over on PlaceManage.com, PTBN's excellent WWE Network Adventure is back and running hot as the crew looks at a pair of 1994 episodes of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And also, check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project, excuse me, and get in the conversation and start researching your list. All that being said, I hope you enjoy listening to Todd and I talk about this movie, and our thoughts on this somewhat unique Kevin Smith film. Enjoy! All right. Mr. Weber, what are we going to watch?
We are watching the Kevin Smith unclassic entitled Yoga Hosers.
Now, I was sort of surprised at this pick, to be honest with you. What made you pick this one?
You know, I was thinking we would do Hereditary, and then I said, you know, in the spirit of this show, where we make fun of shit, this is going to be something we can make fun of instead of getting just deep, dark,
right.
Pure horror.
You never know.
This is more tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. Now, I've never seen this.
Me either.
Yeah? So, oh, nice.
No. So we got a Canadian quick stop, I see here, yeah. Already. A to Z.
Oh, my gosh.
What have we gotten into?
I really don't know.
So this movie, I know, stars Kevin Smith's daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter.
Interesting. Also, Justin Long.
Justin Long, one of your favorites.
Yeah, seriously, underrated.
And Kevin Smith tends to use him if he can.
Yeah.
He's been at a couple things with Kevin.
I did see the one before this, which
Tusk.
I guess... Yeah, Tusk.
I have not seen it either.
It's pretty fucked up, but I kind of enjoyed it, actually. But I enjoy things like that. So this is kind of like a... Not a spinoff, but it's loosely tied to Husk, I think. Tusk, I meant. Husk.
So, yeah, Lily Depp and Harley Quinn Smith are here with their band, and I can't hear what it sounds like.
Me either.
Is that Johnny Knoxville playing the drums, or I don't know who it is?
No, I don't think so.
It's somebody who's trying to look like Johnny Knoxville. And apparently, Johnny Depp has a scene in this movie as well. At least one. Because he's just showed up on the credits.
I feel like these Glamthrax. Is that the name of their band? Glamthrax. Sorry.
Glamthrax. Okay. And I know she has a band. They've been on DC Daily before, but I'll be damned if I'm going to listen to that. She plays bass in a band. Probably, you know, imagine the stage parents for that one.
Now you play in a bunch of bands.
I do. It is my vocation.
Have you ever heard of a little band called Glamthrax? I mean, that's a terrible name.
They have not opened for us, nor have we opened for them.
I bet they sounded pretty bad. I might need to go back and watch this afterwards.
Yeah, with the sound on.
Yeah, to hear it. Perhaps the they're better
taking
than me.
Off the shirt. Yeah. Okay. All right. Who knows? Who really knows? It doesn't look like it'd be the kind of thing that would sound good, but hey, they're practicing in the Quick Stop.
Some
girls are checking their phones.
Yes.
Taking pictures of the drummer whose name is Ichabod. Ichabod, 35-year-old drummer in teen girl band. Okay, I can appreciate that. They know how ridiculous that sounds.
I'm really digging that guy's tattoos as well.
Kind of the retro style tattoos. Not the newer, but more like classic. But this is creepy because, you know, you have a shirtless guy who's 35 with two teenagers. So, awkward.
Well, yeah. But I think that could probably, you know, take them. They look pretty sassy.
So, yeah. They apparently work at this Quick Stop because they have Ed to Zed shirts or jackets that they're putting on.
Yeah, I remember them from Tusk. Working in the store.
I wonder if they made one set and decided, well, let's film two movies on it and try to get our money back.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was a Kickstarter movie, but a lot of Kevin Smith's movies have become Kickstarter films.
I want to say it was. Because I follow him on social media, and I remember back when they were filming this, him posting stuff about it all the time. I don't feel like many people watched it, though.
No. probably just the Patreons, the people who donated to it, and... Oh my goodness. They're trying to be so Canadian here.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron George. What's up, brother? We've got other Canadians in Place to Be Nation, but Aaron is the one I think of most.
Right, me too.
I associate the most with Canada.
What? In some ways, like, you know, you brought up the whole Kickstarter thing. In some ways, I think this movie is pretty fitting for a drive-in movie because a lot of times you would get those lower budget movies at the drive-in. So maybe it fits our theme here.
Yeah. Wonder what a good double feature with this would be besides Tusk. Right. I mean, Tusk would be the obvious one. Look at all the maple syrup they have behind the counter. Okay. I can admire that. That's cute. Yeah, this is apparently in the same continuity because they're referring to the Tusk, the things that happened in Tusk. I know Harley Quinn Smith has a very annoying voice.
Yeah.
Kind of like the inventor voice. Is that the name?
Elizabeth
she
Holmes.
Talks like this. Yes, Elizabeth Holmes. She speaks like this. So I'll read some of her dialogue in this.
Oh my God, little kid.
kid with attitude. We have kids like that.
Yeah, we do.
Like, my younger son would not be afraid to flip off the clerks. Oh, Dreamboat comes to the door.
Oh my God. Hachimachi. Hunter Calloway, that's a hot guy.
Hunter Calloway. Hunter. I would never name my son Hunter.
No?
It's like, no, it kind of puts too much, I mean, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, we know that. I mean, it would be a wrestling reference. Right. People go, what? But, I mean, Gatherer, Hunter, Gatherer, Fisher, I don't
Gatherer.
Those names have expectations, you know?
Gordon? Is that better?
Gordon. I would not name someone Gordon either.
Well,
I don't have any Gordons in my family tree.
I don't think I do either.
Gordon Lightfoot, Canadian, famous Canadian singer-songwriter.
He sure is.
Do you know of Gordon Lightfoot?
I do, actually.
You don't know of the OJs.
No, I don't know the OJs, but yes, I do know of some Gordon Lightfoot. Been listening to a lot of it, actually, recently.
Oh, my goodness. Sundown's a pretty tight jam.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, yes, which is more my style.
Yes, that does.
Song that tells a story about a boat that's sinking.
Do you identify with that too much?
I've covered that. Well, I haven't covered it. I've taught that song.
I'm kind of a if you could read my mind kind of girl.
Mm.
Carefree Highway.
That's a deep cut.
Right.
The greatest hits. The essential Gordon Lightfoot here.
Yeah.
I need to adjust to my brightness. I don't see much in this park scene with Bruiser Brody here.
Kind of like an episode of Game of Thrones.
Like, yeah. Apparently, our friends in the chats weren't the only ones who had difficulty seeing that particular episode.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend over the other day, and she watches it, and I asked her about it. She's like, yes, I can barely see anything.
But it was a dark movie. The Gimli Slider, okay. And there's Jennifer Schwalbach. Mm-hmm. That's Harley Quinn's mom. Mm-hmm. Kevin Smith is contractually obligated to cast her in anything.
Right. And like, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but like even back from like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, yes, when she was in that, like I didn't, yep, think she was that hot. And like she was in a team of hot girls.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
And very, very annoying in Clerks 2,
yes,
as well.
Yeah. Oh,
or
my God,
so.
Yes.
That was kind of like a real, I'm going to cast my wife and give her an important part, mm-hmm, here.
She was kind of great in that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the part she was supposed to play, right. Dante's girlfriend.
She was believable as crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. As believable as anything else in that ridiculous film.
Hey, no. I won't have you.
I enjoy some of the scenes, but there are people that greatly overrate Clerks too.
I don't know about all that.
I like the dance scene.
It's all worth it for Randall's confession and at the end, and it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Okay, so now we've got actual yoga.
All right, Yogi.
Yeah, Yogi Bear. he's teaching the girls yoga. Right. So when's the horror start? I guess the park part was kind of the horror, but
yeah, yoga looks pretty horrific, actually.
Yeah, somewhat emaciated.
Yeah, I'm scared of this. I've heard that it's long, fun, though, so. You know? Have you ever done yoga? You do yoga?
I have. I've done DDP yoga.
How was that?
I was doing. Oh, I love it. I wish I could do more of it. Right now, in my present condition, pending surgery, I cannot do any of it. But I still, you know, I do the isolated arm stuff. But, yeah, if I was going to do one weight loss plan specifically, it would be DDP yoga again. Just because I kind of get a kick out of DDP himself.
I would imagine that would be part of the draw there. But, you know, Tony Schiavone, it really worked for him, so.
Well, there you go.
Seems like it should be worth a shot.
Our good friend, Tony.
Yes. My dear, close, personal friend.
You broke the law to meet Tony Schiavone.
I sure did, in many ways.
But you look so happy. That's one of my favorite things.
I was so happy.
And Justin captured, or JT captured it.
I actually showed it to my son like this weekend, like I haven't before. I don't know why I haven't, but I was trying to explain it to him and he was like, "That's so cute, mama."
Huh. Is your husband threatened by Tony Schiavone?
Oh no.
Oh good.
No, right. Not at all.
He's not your freebie?
No. Well, he's on the list, but I don't think Tony has the same setup with Lois. So.
Yeah. That's true, huh? Yeah. We have to consider the other portions, you know. So yeah, I don't know that I have a freebie anymore. Things are too precarious. So
right.
Oh, we know this guy. He's on Veep.
Oh yeah, he is.
And he was on Arrested Development.
Mm-hmm. He's funny. Yeah.
He is. He is.
He owns the gas station.
Okay.
These little, like, title cards or whatever he's doing here, interesting.
They're helpful, yeah. I suppose, for us watching it in captions only.
Right. Like, not okay, a very, no. Very Kevin Smith type thing to do, so interesting of him.
And nobody's had a long monologue that doesn't sound like any human would ever speak.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, we're early on, so.
Yeah. That tends to be my biggest complaint with the Kevin Smith films, especially, say, Mallrats. Whereas Brody is great and you believe him,
mm-hmm.
But Tommy Doing My Dad. That's the name of this character. And she's from Orange is the New Black, Natasha Lyonne.
Yes, and she's from a Netflix show that I recently watched and fell in love with and don't remember the name of.
Black something.
Yes. Anyway, it was
Black
awesome.
Russian. Black Russian? Black,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, she's always been good. She's good in everything she does. Good. She's had a complicated life off screen.
Has she?
She has. She's been in and out of rehab and all kinds of stuff so over the years. She was in a movie called The Slums of Beverly Hills a long time ago.
Right, yep, I've seen that.
And American Pie, of course.
It looks like she's going on a sort of a monologue here.
Oh, yeah.
I bet it's hilarious, though.
I know, she's kind of like being played like the Missy from Bill and Ted, you know, the skanky stepmom character. My favorite thing about Bill and Ted is how she's with the other dad in the second movie.
Yeah.
I love that.
I wonder if she'll be back in the third movie.
You got to think Missy's getting kind of old.
Right.
So maybe they'll recast Missy. Oh, there we say.
Well, they're all kind of old, but...
Yeah, Bill and Ted themselves are.
Yeah. Which, I mean, they look good, but...
And Keanu looks great.
Oh, my God, amazing.
He's having his revenge on all of us.
He sure is. We watched the first Matrix movie the other night, actually. And
so good.
It's still so awesome.
It's nearly perfect.
It sure is.
And then they did the sequels.
Well, yeah.
Not a fan.
I have a soft spot for some parts of the sequels. And we were discussing whether they should bring it back as like a series or something on Netflix. Hmm. Seems like that would be pretty cool, actually.
No, we have a sex scene coming up, or at least some temptation. I like her leopard print bra. I'm a fan of leopard print. I have a leopard
That's
print
surprising.
Bowling shirt.
Yeah.
No, we cut away before there's... No. Now the band is practicing and throwing them off.
All right. Is all the horror going to be there singing? I feel like I need to turn this up just to get a taste of what we're listening here. Hey, it's not that bad.
My oldest son is discovering music and playing every instrument he can.
Oh, really?
So we get that. He's playing bass and drums. And so he has a drum set. He has a bass guitar and an amp. And then he borrows one of my guitars every so often. And he says, I don't want a guitar, Dad. I'm good. I'm like, oh, I'll give you a guitar if you'll practice it instead of borrowing mine all the time.
Did you teach him or did he teach himself?
I gave him a couple lessons years ago. On guitar, and then he ran out of interest. You know, he didn't understand the commitment. He was 6 or 7, you know. Mm-hmm. And now that he's 12 and he has opportunities to play with friends and church and stuff, he's really taking it seriously. And, you know, he's got it in him. He's definitely a kid that's already got music biologically in his bloodline from me, from my wife's father is a professional musician. My dad's a professional musician. And it's kind of expected, but he can sing. You know, he has pitch. He has, you know, when somebody's just not going to get it. And he's not that. He can go as far as the hard work that he puts in will take him. Because he definitely, which is good, because I've been looking for his thing. And I think music is going to be it.
That's cool.
But it's hard for me. Like, if I try to teach him now, I'm either way too easy on him or way too hard on him, and I don't want that. So I've been bringing in third parties to, like, he took about 6 months of drum lessons, and that was pretty good. And then I showed him a couple things on bass, and he's just been running with that.
Oh, cool. I think, I played trumpet, so, you know, I always think.
Yeah, you know, you were a band geek.
Yeah, so I think hot. All kids should play. I know it was totally hot. I missed my trumpet. I was actually thinking about getting another one.
You still missed the taste of it?
Yeah, I do. The valve oil just calls to me. But I miss playing a lot, and I still remember how to do it.
Can you do a buzz for me?
No.
Did you ever get the circular breathing down?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Excellent.
I played mellophone, too, which was a bigger instrument, and so I had to have more hot air for that.
Well, I got a degree in music, and part of that was I had to be in concert band, so I did percussion in the concert band, because that was more my thing. But yeah, I'm a guitarist, but you don't have those opportunities in like a concert orchestra, a symphony type thing at the college. So that was fun, but we never did the whole band thing of getting in the bus and playing with the football team or anything like that.
That was sort of the whole, you know, fun
about
it. I love doing it.
I did choir in high school, and we got to do that. You know, the trip to Disneyland and getting in trouble on the bus, getting a lot of trouble. Okay, right. So they are doing yoga in school, I guess, I'm surmising, and these yoga purists are saying this is not real yoga. This is PE, gym class yoga.
Imagine to take a stand on something like that. I mean, it seems very...
Yeah, come on. It's easy, just do your gosh
darn. Right, yeah. I mean, like, find another cause to get hot about, not yoga. I don't know. That looks like it sucks, though. I wonder if kids do yoga in PE.
I don't know. I know they do swing dancing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had to do
square dancing.
Yeah.
That was awkward. I got to miss my she kind of looks like Zari from...
She kind of does, yeah.
Legends of Tomorrow, but it's not her. Zari's been looking better and better lately.
Yeah, right?
And go, Nate. You get it. No, I had to miss sixth grade. We had the square dance presentation in front of all our parents, and I got chicken pox conveniently that week.
Oh, no.
Great. I lucked out because I was going to have to dance with a girl named Luann. She was big, big, big girl with, you know, big blonde, foofy hair because it was the mid-80s. I don't remember her last name. I want to say Lulu Roman, but that was a character on Hee Haw, Lulu Roman. But, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Large Luann.
Yes. Large Lulu.
That's fantastic.
That was in Utah. That was growing up in Murray, Utah.
Are you still connected with her on Facebook at all?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh. I don't know any of my Utah friends anymore. I left Utah after seventh grade.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's pretty young.
So, yeah, I've looked up some of them, and they're like the girls who were nice to me, and they all went on to have their Mormon families, and all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Love the Mormons.
My brother went back and checked out the our old neighborhood, and everything's still kind of the same. But he was there through the first couple years of high school, and I moved back out here with my dad after seventh grade, back to California. My parents divorced. My mom moved out to Utah, and then seventh grade things like, oh, she got it was a little bit much to have the challenges of her marriage plus a stepson plus her two sons. So when I became older, she said, you know, do you want to go back to Folsom, to California? So I was able to come back and live with my dad through junior high, the end of junior high and high school.
You feel like that was a good decision on her part?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know, you know, she fought really hard to get custody of us during the divorce. And then the summers we'd be with her and my dad. But I think I'd rather have stayed in California throughout. Mm-hmm. I got bullied pretty badly in seventh grade. Aww. Because I had a big mouth.
I'm shocked.
I was a year younger than everybody else in my class, you know, and so I was thought I was superior in intellectual ways, which was dumb. But you know, you're looking for things. You're looking for your claim to fame, and you know, I don't know. I when I got to seventh grade, I was one of the smaller seventh graders, and this was a seventh, eighth, ninth, and the ninth graders were just giants. Mm-hmm. I got dumped in a garbage can. Oh, I had God. all kinds. I got stuffed in a locker. I had a lot of stuff happen.
Oh my Jesus.
Yeah. So, okay. So we have a flashback sequence here. The history teacher is talking about, and we have Nazis. How about that?
Nice.
I'm still waiting for some horror.
Yeah, me too. Oh, there's Haley Joel Osment with his creepy mustache.
There's horror element right there. Young Forrest Gump, Sixth Sense.
The Canadian kids tend- Jew. What the shit?
So yeah, Haley Joel Osment as a Nazi.
Yeah. Nazi propaganda here.
In Canada. I don't know if this was
yeah,
the thing.
I don't. This is odd. What?
Oh, my goodness.
Round up all the Canadian Jews
Canadian
and
Jews.
Ship them off to the Hudson Bay.
They're all beavers. They're drawing them like beavers here.
I love how his final solution plan is a cartoon. All right, this feels a little bit more Kevin Smithy. Like, we're just off the wall and weird.
There's a dog with an iron cross. There's Ralph Garman, Kevin Smith partner on Fat Man on Batman and a lot of his Hollywood Babylon podcasts. So he's playing a mad scientist here. Haley Joel Osment goose-stepping streets of Montreal looking for Jews.
Wow. This is not where I expected this to go.
No.
What the shit? Hey, that was a pretty cool explosion there.
Yeah, there goes the production budget. Mm-hmm. Sit it all in that awesome. One flower shot blowing up.
I feel like we're not doing a good job at summarizing the plot here, but
is there a plot?
All right, yeah, so girls, I don't know that we found
the girls are in their history class and they're learning about this guy Adrian Arcane, the mad scientist played by Ralph Garman, who was never found, who just disappeared. Mm. Quite the gap in this history teacher's teeth.
That's a little off putting.
She needs Invisalign. Terry Fox Preparatory. Okay, I appreciate this. Do you know who Terry Fox was?
No.
He was a cancer survivor, lost his leg as an amputee, who ran across Canada in the early 80s to raise money. So he was very well known.
Huh. He had a prosthetic leg?
He did, yes.
Okay. I was... And there's a statue of him. Going to run if he was an amputee.
I think there's a statue of him in Montreal.
Okay.
It's Zashira Semeda from SNL. She brought on. She's not currently on there, but she was on there a couple years ago. Oh, their names are Lulu and Lemon. Okay. There's Lulu again. I didn't know that. The character girl's name is Lulu. Lulu and
Luann?
I don't know if it was Luann. We can look at IMDb here. I don't know that I have the ability to open a second window on my browser. Yes, I can, but I've lost this thread of this. There it is. Maybe I'll look at it on my phone. So have we ever done a one-on-one podcast before?
No, I don't believe we have. I have not been a guest on any of your shows.
Well, you'll be on Binge Please one of these days when we have a... when I get out of Game of Thronesville,
I'm doing
a series on right now.
All right, I'm down for that.
We'll have to figure out what you're going to talk about. besides maybe House on Haunted Hill, which was kind of the obvious one. But you've probably talked about that on Geek and Sassy enough.
Yeah, I think we have.
And I have to look out, because I know there will be some overlap between our shows on the things we talk about, but nothing personal.
No, that's fine. We'll laugh at that on this feed.
This station is big enough for crossover. Mm-hmm. Or okay. Colleen Collette and Colleen McKenzie. Okay, so they're both named Colleen. I guess the administrator here just giving them the nickname Lululemon, right, based on yoga pants.
That makes sense.
Okay.
And it's funny in retrospect.
Yeah. Yeah, so that emaciated yogi, that is actually Justin Long.
Oh, shit, was it?
Yeah. I thought it was. I had said that, but I didn't know. I see Danny Trejo in there.
It did not look like him. He looked rough.
Yeah, well, you act in more than one Kevin Smith film. Well, look what happens. Yeah. J. Muse.
Wow.
How is that guy still alive?
I know, right?
Stan Lee has a cameo in this film.
Wow.
The late, great Stan Lee.
God rest his soul.
Been thinking a lot about Stan lately.
I know, right? Imagine how much... I wonder if he got to see any of Endgame. Do they have any?
Don't know. Because they had filmed much of that. Oh, this is Johnny Depp. No, this is not Johnny Depp. Who is this guy? This Gee. This character's name is Gee. Yeah, I have to wonder what Stan, who was credited as an executive producer on Endgame, like he's been for all of these. Is it safe to talk about Endgame spoilers or no? Not really.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
Just in case. Didn't have.
Okay.
I mean, you can't even watch, like, trailers to other movies now without spoilers. So,
no kidding.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, imagine seeing that Spider-Man trailer and missing the little bit where he says, "Those one."
I feel like everybody's been pretty good about it, though. Like, I never got spoiled. Of course, I saw it very soon.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the diehards saw it. Those of us who are not in restrictive relationships, where your significant other or her relatives are waiting to see it with you and you have to wait a week or so.
Right, yeah.
Right.
That does happen.
I don't know. So I've heard. Wouldn't know anybody specifically like that.
No, definitely not.
Oh. Okay, that is Johnny Depp. Under
I
all
was
that
thinking it was.
Makeup. The eyes are there, but there's a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And a fat suit.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And a mole. Yeah. I think there's some, maybe it was just a bad time for him with this Amber Heard divorce,
right,
but it's definitely
say.
Johnny Depp
as
this character. Imagine Johnny Depp reading Kevin Smith dialogue.
I feel like he's probably being pretty great right here too.
So he's reminding me of somebody else, and I can't put my finger on it.
Mm.
But it's, I mean, it's definitely Johnny Depp. Mm.
What?
The giant fart that called them yoga hosers. Okay, Toilet Paper Man. Seems to be the bad guy, the Bruiser Brody looking guy.
Mm.
Have you ever done this? Watched a movie on FODI? That you've never seen before?
Yeah, actually, several of them. Like Suburban Commando.
Oh. I think that one you kind of get the gist of.
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah. I feel like there was another one, too. Some of them I hadn't seen, like, a long time. So I didn't remember much.
The movie I'd originally requested was Event Horizon. Which is a very dark, very dark film.
Yeah. I probably would have went for that as well. I've seen that.
Spoiler alert, we're watching this, or not spoiler alert, peek behind the curtain, kayfabe. Generally, you do these at night when you've had drinks, right?
Yes.
And we are taping this during the day, middle of the day for you, morning for me. Just dropped off my sons at school. I don't have to go to work till noontime or so. So neither of us have had a drink.
Not a drink. No, I've not done that. You know, I've tried sober podcasting and I found that it's not for me. So if I can't drink, then there are other opportunities.
I know of which you're speaking.
Right. So,
especially for a Kevin Smith film. I mean, it makes
that's
sense.
What I thought. You know, I felt like probably need to be in that headspace watching a Kevin Smith movie. So but I do have some mimosas in there if I do need to bring those out.
Yeah, back in the day, I would work retail, and on a particularly rough Saturday, we would go to Red Robin and have a beer during lunch. Mm-hmm. But generally, I try to not work under any kind of alcohol influence just because a parent might smell it, you know. Yeah, I smell it on enough parents that when I work with clients. Well.
Yeah.
That's how it is in that family.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That, for working, 100%. I've never worked inebriated in any way. So, hungover, yes, but.
Yes. I think so. When was the last time you had a 9-to-5?
That was about a month before my son was born, so okay. He's almost 10. Mm. But I was working for in medical billing, and I was 7 months pregnant when they let me go because of budget cuts.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
So
and then I just all never right. went back.
Are you thinking about doing that as Ethan gets older? As your son gets older, whose name we won't talk about.
No,
on the podcast,
you could say, yeah.
For privacy reasons.
Yeah, everybody knows all his right. name anyway.
All right.
But, you know, I would like to, but it's because of his health condition, it's hard to find a job that will let you be out a lot or, you know, something comes up unexpectedly, which does with him quite a bit. So,
yeah, you have to have the freedom to just drop everything and take
right.
care of him.
But when he's healthy and things are going well, you know, that's when I start to wonder like, well, maybe I could do something. And usually that's when something goes wrong or, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable sending him many places during the summer months. So it's like, that's 2 months. Of, you know, what am I going to do with them? And so it's just never really been worked out to where I could work. And I think that's why I navigate towards something like podcasting, because even though I don't get paid for it still, something for me to do, if you can say that.
Yeah. No, you were looking for your thing and you found it, you know. And eventually you will own the entire network,
you know, that's my goal, to overthrow all the men. I'm working on it.
Yeah, definitely Justin Long now. I see it.
Yeah, boy, I see it too.
Skinny.
Yeah, he looks rough. And it's weird because in this continuity, he's...
Right.
The guy from Tusk, so...
It's kind of like the Scott Mosier thing from Quirks.
He
played a whole bunch of different roles.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I still don't get the plot.
I don't either. And I feel like if we had watched it maybe once beforehand, we would have a better grasp of this. I don't feel like it's been bad, though. I mean,
No, I'm not looking at this and saying that what a piece of shit this is. It's not. This is non-offensive so far. What's the worst movie you think you've ever seen?
The worst movie I've ever seen?
That's supposed to be good, but turned out not to be good.
Well, I went into it wanting it to be really good. It's this George Clooney movie called The American.
Mm.
I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I have not.
But I'm a sucker for George Clooney, and he's like a spy. and or not a spy, but like a assassin in this movie. And it looked like a really good like thriller, but it was just ridiculous. Like nothing ever happened. It was boring as shit. It was just him and like loading his guns and like looking at people through telescopes. I don't know. I hated it. Like super hated that movie. What about you?
The Hotel New Hampshire.
What the hell is that about?
It's about this family that own a timeshare, and not even a timeshare. It's like a resort, and people come and visit. Jodie Foster and Rob Lowe, and it's a troop of parentless kids. There's Kevin Conroy, who is Batman, the animated Batman. Not the most handsome individual.
No, he is unique looking.
Yes. He's, you know, doing what he can with what he's got. His hair is great. Right.
He works in voice acting.
Yes.
So
thank God he's given that kid.
What?
No, Hotel New Hampshire. And it turns out, like, the two main characters, the two teenage brother and sister, biological brother and sister, are in love with each other, and they end up hooking up at the end of the movie.
Wow.
Uh-huh. It's really, really weird. I like the author, John Irving, wrote that book, that novel, but you get to that part, it's like, really? That's what this is about? So, I felt like he did that with Cider House Rules, too. I don't know if you know that one.
No, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine's
really
good.
Yeah, I knew Michael Caine was in it.
But it's like that movie or that book was just written with an entire, there was a point of view they wanted to get over on you, and I didn't appreciate it necessarily. Hmm. But it's a very controversial. That one has a controversial political opinion that ends up being the gist of the story. So whatever your opinion of it is, I just didn't appreciate it being forced down my throat in that kind of subversively.
Well, but now I gotta watch it.
Yeah, and Michael Caine is good in that as he is in everything.
Right. Don't you worry about that.
So we got Hunter and Hunter
accent?
And Gordon.
I feel like I'm kidding.
It's. I'm not going to say anything because I don't think my mommy told me, you know, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything.
That's not
at all.
What we
change
do on
the
this
subject.
Show. Whatever. Gordon Lightfoot.
My Canadian accent tends to be the SCTV, you know, the McBobbin, Doug McKenzie.
Yeah, I don't know what
and
that means.
There's, you know, those are the brothers, the, hey, good day to you, sir.
Oh, okay.
And good day, Rick Moranis and Dave Thomas. And I think that's homaged here because one of the Colleen's last name is McKenzie.
Mm.
So, stereotypical Canadian name.
Also, Robin Trzeboski, I enjoyed her non-Canadian accent.
Fill me in. Who is that character or that individual?
From How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, okay. Well, blind spot for me.
Yeah,
not a show.
That's what we'll do. We'll just reference things that neither of us know what we're talking about, and then just do that the rest of the show.
Welcome to a Todd Weber podcast. It's your references.
In which he just said stuff that you don't understand. Which was like me with all of wrestling podcasts until pretty recently.
So you recently partook in the WWE pay-per-view draft, or it was just any wrestling pay-per-view draft, right?
It was, yeah, pretty much.
Did you feel disadvantaged because you haven't seen everything? You just had to pick kind of your favorites?
I felt disadvantaged, yes, because I don't know the typically... Well, I know a few of the typically favorites of, let's say, WrestleMania or SummerSlam or whatever. So, and I've seen all the SummerSlams, but I feel advantaged in my knowledge of WCW pay-per-views,
yes,
which are my favorites. And so allowed me to pick things that nobody else is going to pick anyway, but that I wanted to pick. And I am currently second in the voting for that. So, you know, apparently I didn't do too bad.
Well, again, these are where you're voting for your favorite person sometimes.
Oh, is that right?
I'm just saying.
I mean,
if we had just done a blind one.
Just look at my list and just go by that. I mean, it speaks for itself. I don't have to say anything.
What's your favorite thing that you drafted on there?
Uncensored 1995.
95. I was going to say, yeah. There must be a lot of closet WCW 95 fans out there.
I mean, they
appreciate that choice.
Well, it's awesome, so I don't understand why they're closeted at all.
Speaking of Diamond Dallas Page and Johnny B. Bad. Johnny B. Bad.
Bad Blaster.
The Diamond Doll.
All right, so I think Kevin Smith is known for his sexually laden dialogue and things of that nature.
Quite blunt back in the 90s. You know, you didn't hear that in anything else. Like, Todd Weber drinking game. I had an ex-girlfriend who was so shocked that when she watched Chasing Amy with her mom, they had to get up and leave the theater.
Are you serious?
Because it was, they didn't know what they were getting into.
Wow. Because that's ironic, a lot of sex in that, though.
Yeah, they talk pretty explicitly, and it was 1997 or so.
Right.
And thinking about that girl, she was probably 19 at that point, just thinking about that. So I don't know. I don't know that I could handle a movie like that with one of my parental units. I remember I was 12 years old, and we watched Clash of the Titans, and there was a breastfeeding scene that was so uncomfortable I had to get up and leave the room, you know, with my parents.
A breastfeeding scene.
I know, but you grow
very
up a little
politically incorrect of you now, Todd Weber.
I just felt it was kind of, I was very uncomfortable with it at that point.
Because it was arousing to you as a 12-year-old?
Just any kind of nudity. You weren't supposed to confront that with your father and your stepmom. Mm. Just, you know, growing up under the oppressive Lutheran rules that I grew up under.
I was recently, well, not recently, but a couple of years ago, advised to never discuss it with my son either, which I find off-putting because we talk about everything, and I'm his person, and I feel like he should be able to talk about this with me, but then all of my guy friends just assured me that I should not be doing that at all, and that if anybody was going to say anything, it should be his dad. But I don't know. I feel like that's not fair. I don't know. Am I wrong?
Plus there's health class. No, I think it's just, it's a tough thing because everybody feels like they were raised wrong about it. Like, oh, if only I had known a little bit more. You know, I wish somebody had just smacked the shit out of me and said, dude, it's not that important to have a girlfriend all through high school. It's not the be-all, end-all that you're making it out to be. Mm-hmm. Do your homework. Instead of, I was obsessed with having a relationship. I thought that was the, what's the word I wanted? The acceptance that I needed, you know?
Right.
And if I had just waited till college, I would have done much, much better at that. So I think that's my biggest regret about growing up when I did. I was uncomfortable around girls, but I felt like I had to really push it and have a girlfriend all the time. Okay, what the fuck is going on here?
I have no idea. I was going to ask you.
Okay, so Hunter was hooking up with Colleen in the stock room, and he tries to stab her or sacrifice her.
Oh my God.
And she takes him out, and now there's this little Nazi dude that came out of his mouth when he died.
Okay.
And now Gordon's about to hit the other Colleen with a hammer, and he's having some kind of reaction. He screams. This is really weird. this is kind of crossed the line and gotten me out of talking the awkward situation with me as a teenager.
Well, thank God.
Yeah.
We finally got to some horror here, and it's not young Todd Weber's love life.
Okay. There's a little dude crawling up the skin of Gordon. Gordon kind of looks like Screech.
A little bit, yeah.
Well, I have not voted yet, but I'm going to have to see your entire list. But based on Uncensored 95, that gives you an edge in my book, just right. Because...
Well, I also have Halloween Havoc 1995, which gives me the Yeti.
Yes.
And
Tony's finest moment.
Yes, of course. Also, I have WrestleMania X7. So...
A lot of people think that's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And
yes.
I think there are people talking that 19 is better, but I like X7 a lot. I think that's my favorite. So I'll have to look. All right. They've caught this little sausage dude. They put him in the microwave. He's saying 99999. Avita's saying he just exploded all over the microwave. Like, what the hell is this movie?
It's getting a little.
Yeah, he's dressed kind of like a Mountie, but he's not. He's this German. Wow.
I don't know. I think I might want to hear about young Todd Weber getting aroused by breastfeeding some more.
I wasn't aroused. It was just uncomfortable. my dad. Actually, it wasn't even my stepmom then. It was the lady my dad was dating. Who ended up becoming my stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks like Celine Dion, by the way. I don't know. that's if you want to know what my stepmother is like, she's like Celine Dion. Speaking of which, French Canadian. But my stepmother is Polish American, and she's from Chicago. And if you've ever seen the Addams Family Values, I think it's actually the first Addams Family. No, it's Addams Family Values. Joan Cusack's character.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Has the exact same name as my stepmother.
Huh.
Debbie Jelinski.
Hmm. Oh, Stan cameo.
Stan Lee, yep.
All right.
Stan rocked the toupee even into his 90s.
Sure did.
These sausage people are all played by the same character.
Yeah.
Same actor.
It looks like a miniature fat bastard, a Canadian fat bastard.
This is some Legends of Tomorrow level CGI, I gotta tell you.
Mm-hmm. The yoga way. They're gonna fight.
Oh, you're about
people with yoga.
I'm not even supposed to be here today. Yep, they're fighting using yoga tactics. And when these characters die, these villains die, they turn into, I can't tell. It looks like mac and cheese, but
it does look like mac and cheese. Oh my gosh.
Taking them out with a hockey stick. Mm-hmm. This is a thing.
It is. I can't decide if it's good or bad that I'm high watching this.
I've had probably two cups of coffee. Good. That's all the...
Anal syrups. Oh, my God. All right. Maybe that was worth this whole scene. I'm good with, like, them fighting and killing them. It's just this odd explosion of confetti that happens when they kill them.
And the police are here. Are you on the police? I think our sync is off.
Our sync is off?
Have the police shown
up
yet?
They just did.
Okay. I'll pause for another 5 seconds or okay. so. Artisanal, yeah, that's the thing. Artisanal maple syrups, and then you get rid of the first five letters, yeah, and it's anal.
Anal syrup. Yep.
And we have mugshots of the girls.
Gotcha.
Orange prison jumpsuits. And, oh, they're going to be interrogated by Detective Jason Mewes. And Johnny Depp. Would you ever see Jason Mewes and Johnny Depp in the same
that
scene?
That is amazing. Jay is a cop. Also amazing.
Jay is a surviving human being in the year 2019.
Sure
is amazing. He did so much heroin back mm-hmm. in the day.
And, you know, like, he's really good. Like, he's super talented.
He is. He's naturally funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see him forcing it. But he did, like, commercials for Nike back in the day. They were great.
Mm-hmm.
Or Nike or MTV. I can't remember. But, he definitely has a lot of talent.
And lucky as hell to have Kevin as a
Yeah, friend. Have somebody who's yeah. going to be a loyal advocate for you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody to sponsor you, get you through the things. It seems like he's turned his life around. I did get to see a live Kevin and Silent Bob Get Old show in Sacramento.
Yeah?
It was pretty good. It was entertaining enough. They were doing a podcast taping, and it's kind of what you expected, but I can't remember any of the details about what they talked about. It was just kind of neat to see these two guys you've been following for 20 years in person. But Kevin has lost all this weight.
Mm-hmm.
Rather inspirational.
It is. I mean, it took a major heart attack to motivate him, but I'm glad that it did. What?
The Bratzies. That's
what the Bratzies.
The Bratzies. Okay.
The Bratzies. Okay.
Are you tripping on the pot? Why yes.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Tusk was a much better movie than this.
Okay. I've not seen Tusk nor Red State.
I haven't seen Red State either. You know, you were talking about your son playing instruments. My son has recently started playing the recorder.
Oh, my goodness.
At school. And every time they have music, it's only like once a week, I think. And I'll be like, how did recorder go today? You're like, I hate this thing. Like, everybody sucks at playing it. It's just like a disaster the whole time. And he's sensitive to sound anyway. So he's like, I can't stand listening to all these stupid kids playing their stupid recorders. I'm like, yep. He never plays it at home, so I get spared.
Do you know any of the songs he's having to do?
Nope. He doesn't talk to me about any of it. I'm like, okay, that's fair. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, recorder, I mean, it's a thing that they do. It's cost-effective to teach music with it, teach the music fundamentals.
I want to say I saw just like London Bridges or some crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hot Cross Buns.
Yeah, Mary Had a Little Lamb or something.
Yeah. I associate recorder with The Office. Dwight Schrute's instrument of record. But there's actually a recorder on Stairway to Heaven. If you ever hear Stairway to Heaven, that in the intro, there's guitar and recorder.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of the crowning achievement of recorder performances.
The Hall of Fame of recorder.
These Johnny Depp talking to the girl scenes are just going on forever.
Going on, yeah.
both scenes, both the times they did. They were both like 5 minute long scenes where it's just sitting down, having a conversation back and forth.
Which, I mean, it's not unusual in the Smith movie. Long scenes. I'm surprised Johnny Depp did this, though.
It's just getting his daughter a starring role in a film. Yep. We haven't seen the drummer since the opening scene. Strange things are afoot here at the A to Z. Glamthrax, look at that mole.
That's fantastic.
So he paid the bail.
Moly, moly, moly.
Yeah, that's what I have. The mole keeps moving. All right, that's pretty good. All right, I just noticed that. That's apparently the whole reason of this scene is him. These interview scenes, when they cut away, the mole moves.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's good.
I'm glad that we noticed that during the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, it's as plain as the nose on his face. Still in between the eyebrows now.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. If there's a canonical reason for it, or if it's just a thing that we're supposed to laugh at.
He does look ridiculous.
I used to have a sweater like that.
Ah, believe you.
I used to have a sailboat sweater, too. I loved it.
A sailboat sweater.
Yeah, it was. Okay, imagine wearing khaki slacks and then this three-tone pastel-colored sweater with a sailboat right in the middle. Very 80s look. I wore a lot of, I don't know, sweaters and members-only jackets back in the day. Mm. It was the fashion of the 80s.
It's not a sailboat, it's a schooner.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah, fat kids couldn't see it. It was weird. And then with penny loafers.
Oh, God.
Sperry topsiders. That's what it was. It wasn't penny loafers. Sperry topsiders and no socks.
And how old were you wearing this?
Oh, maybe 17.
Mm. Did you have a girlfriend at this time?
Junior year, I had a couple different girlfriends. Senior year, I really didn't have a girlfriend until the end of the year. Mm. Like, just before graduation.
Might have been the wardrobe, just saying.
Might have been. might have been my personality, too.
I doubt that.
Most effective form of birth control.
Sailboat sweaters.
And, jazz choir membership.
And breastfeeding kinks.
Yeah, being nervous about that. Well, that whole thing for me was, my dad was very conservative and from a conservative family. And it was like no expectation of, you know, I had a very strict curfew, was not supposed to... was not supposed to mess around with girls. It was kind of like, you don't do this in my house. You don't. You know, there's only so much you could control of my life. But it was just not a thing that was going to be allowed. I don't know. We were just kind of in mortal fear. So we didn't talk about it. I went on dates, had prom dates and stuff. But never in high school. Not until I really moved out did I ever have any long-term relationships.
Do you feel like you were stunted because of your father's rules about girls?
Oh, probably, sure. Yeah, I think so. I just had, you know, weird expectations and a lot, I don't know that I had a lot of questions, but I just had a lot of guilt about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being on a football team and doing all these things, I had, you would hear stories and I'm like, wow, I must be a freak. I'm missing out on this. I went to a very small school too.
Mm-hmm. Me too. We had like 33 in our graduating class.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Super small school.
And more, that's a really small school. Yeah. I had more like 175 in my graduating class.
But it's kind of cool. Like, most people were all friends, like, mm-hmm. with a class that small. Not everybody, but for the most part, you'd been in school with them your whole life, because we went to one school from K-12.
Wow. So
we all knew each other, and sometimes that was good, and sometimes it was bad. Because you get bored with the same old people, and...
Yeah. Well, I went to high school, the same high school for all 4 years, but up until that, I had gone to a different school almost every year with divorce stuff and skipping the grade. And then I was lucky to be in the same neighborhood for 6th to 7th transition. So even though I went to a different school, it was still the same people. Mm-hmm. But generally, like, it was reload every year. It's almost like a military thing, but it was more... parents divorced, and my mom was trying to find the right situation, right neighborhood, and she moved a lot.
That's got to be rough.
It was. So my wife and I had that agreement. We would not do that, put our kids through that. We're not going to move a lot, even if we're not happy. We're just going to try to stay in the same place throughout. Mm. And luckily, we've been fairly good with that. Evan's only gone to 2 schools his whole life. Aaron's only gone to 1. So, yeah, it's been... at least better, more consistent than what I had, and I know what she had. She had to move around a lot, too.
All right, so we're getting all this explanation about the sausages. And it sounded pretty gross. Something about clones, and then they were ground up into the sausages, and then that guy got put in a refrigerator?
Cryogenic chamber. And then, is this the same drummer? I don't know, he's changed his look. And he doesn't have any tattoos.
Huh.
So maybe it was a flashback sequence. Maybe it's the same guy, because I think this is the origin of the Bratzies.
Okay, yeah.
So this guy, Ralph Garman, he's a well-known like Batman fan. He kind of worships the Adam West Batman. Mm-hmm. And he's well-known for dating porn star Ginger Lynn as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's about all I know about Ralph Garman, other than he does a really good Adam West imitation.
He seems to be hamming it up pretty good in this one.
Yeah, I believe he does, on DC Universe, he does some of the introductions for some of the movies. Hmm. You know, the DC Presents things that they've done. I don't know how much time you've spent with the app, but they have these specially filmed introductions to the projects. Like, here's... DC Universe Presents Batman, and he'll give a little background of it. It's pretty cool.
I don't know.
It seems even without the audio on, a lot of this humor is very forced.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like... it's not really meta, but it has this other thing. I don't know. It was trying to be campy, but it's just off a little bit. Like,
I think it's off a lot bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice because I love Kevin Smith, but...
I love him as a person. I respect that he... You know, if you ever see his Q&As or his concert films, they're great. It's just the movies have not been... it's the law of diminishing returns for a long time with Kevin Smith films.
Well, what do you think about his next... his
Clerks 3?
No, is it... Jay and Silent Bob?
Oh, that's right. They're doing a reboot. I don't know what to think. I don't know.
It's like a lot of his humor is sort of outdated at this point. So mm-hmm. I don't know if they... just double down on it, you know, try to go
right
further.
Yeah, the people who like this are going to like it.
Right.
Yeah, the humor, kind of the what passes, or I guess the trendy humor is like the awkward cringiness. Mm-hmm. And I don't see that. And I also don't see Kevin Smith ever listening to somebody saying, no, try it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, he has his own way of doing things, and by gosh, he's going to force it through. He's going to ram it through, you know, all the weird sex talk and say quirks too, mm-hmm. that, you know, you're either going to laugh at or you're not. And I don't know. He got really upset when Zach and Miri made a porno, didn't do well, because he thought, oh, this is it. This is going to be my breakthrough film. I've got mm-hmm. Seth Rogen. Mm-hmm. But you put that title in, and it's going to turn off a large segment of people going to see the movies regardless.
Agreed, although that is a great movie. I love that movie.
It has some funny parts. And
I thought it was very heartfelt.
But some of the stuff, again, forcing the bathroom humor, so to speak, mm-hmm. kind of derails the film for me. Mm-hmm. The butt stuff.
The butt stuff.
Yeah. And that's not a hang up of mine. I'm just saying I don't think you can put that kind of stuff in your movie and then say get mad when it doesn't break into the mainstream.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, you look at Knocked Up. Knocked Up is raunchy, mm-hmm. but it's not showing, it's telling. Mm. Zach and Miri is doing a lot of showing.
But it's not really that graphic.
The J-Muse part?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe my...
I don't want to get gross talking about it.
Well... I don't know. Yes. I guess I'm different because I don't mind talking about this stuff, or like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I just don't have much of a filter
mm-hmm.
when it comes to like discussing things like that.
Well, and in chats, I tend not to either, but I also don't think that's like the stuff you can make a basis of a successful Hollywood franchise, and it, you know, it's not going to work. It's right. not.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith acted like it was America's fault that movie didn't hit. Like, no, no.
America's fault.
You know,
so many things are America's fault.
No, yeah. So I think you could even use that same kind of plot, but don't give it away in the title, and mm-hmm. maybe clean up some of the stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think don't call it "They Make a Porno" in the title.
Mm-hmm. Just call it Zach and Miri.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Zach and Miri are broke. Zach and Miri need to rent money. Was it that? Was that the plot? They need to rent money.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, drive Uber. Apparently, Uber and Lyft don't pay as much as they had promised. You know, a lot of people tried that out, and they all stopped. You know, this is not the part-time gig I was promised. But there are people making it work.
Yeah, I mean, we had some great drivers the last time I was in New Orleans with Stacy, and you know, they all seemed, you know, pretty happy with it.
That town, I don't want to say it's in a bubble, but there's nothing like New Orleans. They are all about showing you a good time. Right. And I mean, like, as a culture, mm-hmm. that city, they are unified people in presenting the city well. I mean, everybody was so proud of the city when I visited. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I want to come back here, you know? Even the people at the Hertz counter. Like, you're going to love this town.
And
try this.
You?
Do this.
I mean, it's so amazing there.
Yeah. You know, when I went, we had really good Lyft drivers too, who had other side hustles, you know, mm-hmm. he showed us gave us his business card for t-shirt making company and all this stuff. And on the back, he said, oh, and I'll record your music too. You know?
I'd actually ended up asking one of mine, cause she was a character, and, I was just kind of mentioning that, Lyft and Uber drivers might also make money in selling drugs. And she admitted that some of them do, and that none of them would ever sell to me because I was a white girl.
Wow. That's interesting.
And being a white girl, I'm obviously a cop.
Right.
So, and she's right, because, you know, I couldn't buy any all weekend, but if only they knew my true nature.
Yeah.
They could make a lot of money off of me.
Hmm.
What in the fuck is this monster?
Yeah, there's this hockey monster that they put all the Brotzies into. I wonder if this is the kind of thing that would show up on Mystery Science Theater someday.
Probably, yes.
That's my son Evan's favorite show. It's Mystery Science Theater.
That's great. He has great taste.
He is.
The Goalie Golem? Is that what she just said?
I didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
I guess that makes sense, though, because, you know, the Golem is the Jewish super character that they, you know, create
super
and help
character.
Them. I don't know. That's a monster. I guess monster is the right thing. But it's usually presented in a heroic manner. You know, the golem saved us.
Yeah.
But here we're using the...
evil.
We've got a Nazi golem with hockey and ribcage and all kinds of stuff. I got to say, this movie doesn't drag necessarily.
No, it moves along.
There's only a little bit left.
Yeah.
This movie may be shit, but at least it's short.
Except for those scenes with Johnny Depp, but...
Johnny Depp, where they're just talking. But now I'm going to rewatch and look for the mole. Moles, jumping. Yeah.
This monster is quite unique.
Looks like, I appreciate
the
whatever happened to the
effects.
Giant Gonzalez costume.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, now we're getting meta.
A little bit.
Yeah. Don't kill the girls, kill the critics. Oh my gosh. Little bit on the nose. And there's not been nearly enough yoga in this movie.
No. Crush all the critics and the negative peoples and the haters who gotta hate. Okay. Yeah. All right, Kevin.
Yeah. This is exactly.
Oh my God, really?
Well.
All right. The moles move and they also multiply on his face.
Yes, they're reproducing.
He has skulls on his knees.
This is kind of like a different version of the Golgothan monster.
Yeah, the ship monster.
Okay, we're getting some yoga. Yes, this is what I came for.
Oh, wow. King Koopa.
Oh, and we're getting the Batman sound effects.
Oh, God.
Splat. Oh. In neon.
This is... yeah. Atlas Shrugged? What?
You know, I think this feels like Kevin Smith got really baked and watched Scott Pilgrim one night.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do one... I'm going to take the sensibilities of that, but with no budget... or script.
And yoga.
Oh, and my daughter and my wife.
And moles.
And it'll get some cachet because Johnny Depp is attached to it.
Mm.
Even though I didn't know that he was going to be in it, but I guess it makes sense.
It's so weird because I feel like there's probably some good performances in here.
Probably.
Like the girls.
Well, I mean, there's some talented actors.
Right.
Tony Hale, Natasha mm-hmm. Lyonne. The girls are asked to carry this movie. And
right.
I got to say, Harley doesn't seem like she's doing too bad a job. Mm-hmm. I just don't hear her voice.
Yeah.
If I have a feeling that if I heard Harley saying her yoga poses like this three-legged dog.
Three-legged dog.
It's goofy and in it. I don't.
Yeah. Namaste. All
right. I'm not sorry I picked this.
I'm not sorry either. I mean, what else am I going to do on a Monday morning besides get baked and watch this movie?
I'm trying to think. Well, you do your shopping for the week.
I did it online.
Okay. Well, you have grocery delivery?
Well, you can go pick it up or have it delivered. So I usually just go pick it up.
Does Publix offer that?
Publix will bring it to you, and Walmart will either bring it to you for $10 or you can go by and pick it up for free.
Wow. Yep. They keep the cold stuff cold?
Yep.
Wow.
It's okay. Like a life changer. Try that. For sure.
I may have to try this.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
The more you know.
Because once you, and we're kind of like going off, but once you like order a couple times, you'll have your essentials or whatever, and it'll tell you like, you want to reorder this? And you just go through. Mm-hmm. And because like a lot of my stuff is the same crap every week. So it's just super simple.
I wish Trader Joe's would offer that. Mm-hmm. Trader Joe's is a mess. I love Trader Joe's. I love the products, but you can't park. Mm-hmm. I always feel bad about myself going in there because everybody's in shape, you know.
They all go in there for the cookie butter, don't lie.
Yeah, good time to go to Trader Joe's is like 5:30 because all the hotties are getting off work. So, boys and girls. I was behind like this super Greek god a couple weeks ago at Trader Joe's. And, you know, I saw him shopping a little bit. I'm like, okay, what does a man this handsome, this in shape... He was 6'5".
Oh, my God.
Looked like the guy from ER, Goran Visnjic.
Oh, shit.
Looked super handsome. And he's talking to somebody on the phone, like holding one item. And then like he got a frozen pizza from Trader Joe's. And then I ended up being in line behind him, and he didn't have the frozen pizza anymore. Hmm. So, like, he had thought about it. And he's like, no, I will lose my God status if I eat this frozen pizza. You know, and I don't remember what he had after that. But
it was probably, goodness. Like, salad and, like, protein shakes.
There are times where I feel like I got it going on. I'm dressed well. I dig me. I do, mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. This guy was super like, wow. This is like alien species. What are you doing in Sacramento?
Probably an actor.
Yeah. I know. I got the sense that he was European, but I didn't hear him. But anyway, Trader Joe's. Yeah, if Trader Joe's offered that, where you could do your shopping and just pick it up, that would be great.
Yeah. To the point to where I use it so much that when I have to actually go in, especially to Walmart, I'm just like, what? Like, where's my shopping minion who can do this for me and I want to do it? Sucks. Especially if you have a kid with you.
Yeah, I know. That's horror stories. We try not to do that to each other. You know, you don't take the kid shopping because it
sucks.
Yeah. Original drummer is back. They are singing during the post-credit scene. I don't have lyrics for them singing, though.
No, I don't either.
Captions here. So we can kind of...
It's probably something about Bratzies and
maybe
yoga.
When you hear their show, you better run for cover. Klondike Bill's a sausage lover.
Oh, my God. Mm. Why didn't we make any Klondike Bill jokes?
That's true.
We whiffed. Oh, no.
It was right there for us.
It was. And with the girls and everything. Oh, God. What have we done?
No.
We fucked up.
If anybody was going to outgross Kevin Smith, it would be Klondike Bill.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Klondike Bill was a visionary.
Now there's a bulldog. She's holding a bulldog for no reason.
Right.
Kevin Smith was in this film, but I didn't see him. Who did he play?
What if he was the monster thing? The girl?
Oh, yeah. He was. No, he was. He's actually the... He played every one of the Bratzies.
Oh, okay. Weird.
Yeah, and here comes Johnny Depp playing a cheap Japanese guitar in character, backing up against his daughter. Kind of a Josie and the Pussycats vibe to this band.
All right, so what are your thoughts about this movie?
What are my thoughts about this movie?
It's a 4.3 out of 10 on IMDb with a 23 Metascore.
Well, that's fair, I think. I think it's appropriately rated.
Yeah.
I don't think Kevin talks about it a whole lot, you know, and it's kind of a vanity project for his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter. And although it's not bad enough that I would watch it you know, we probably won't do this one. We might though, like a group watch of this with the sound on.
That's an idea.
Yeah, with chemical enhancements for all of us.
Yeah, exactly. Just add it to the list. We have a long list of.
Yeah, what's next for us?
Oh, I don't know. Shit.
I haven't been able to do one of these in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. I keep pushing it, and then everybody keeps like meh. So
apparently, you guys did shots yesterday while Russell and I were taping a show.
We did.
You did video shots,
and then Tim covered up the camera so we couldn't see him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know Tim was in on that call, but I had a feeling he would just be showing the alcohol.
No, he didn't even do that. He just covered it up.
Tim's not a real person.
Nope. I mean, the evidence is melting.
Well, Glenn met him, so.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. Glenn might could be in on it, too. You never know.
The Tim conspiracy.
The conspiracy of Tim Capel. I believe it. All right, well, I'm going to agree with your assessment on this movie. But still, you know, whatever. It was fun talking to you about it.
Well, yeah. We'll have to do this again sometime. Yeah,
we will.
On my show. And now that you know I am free on some weekday mornings, it may be like, I've always got Todd in my back pocket. I can do a show.
Thank you. I hadn't even considered that, but I will now. Because I know you just don't do enough. I mean, I know you sit around and do nothing all the time.
Yeah, I have been accused of underachieving.
Underbooking as well.
Yeah, my old live journal name was Overcommitter, and it's still true.
All right, so what else do you have coming up on Place to Be Nation?
You know, just making it up as I go along. I got to do another show with Tim. We've got to get to the Death of Dark Phoenix. What did I say? Dark Phoenix. That's not a word. The Death of Jean Grey, Dark Phoenix in Conversation Comics. We've got to get to that before the Dark Phoenix movie comes out. And I am behind on my Game of Thrones recaps for Binge Please, but I'll get caught up this week. The world's shortest Game of Thrones podcast. The 5-minute Game of Thrones recap podcast on Binge Please. Got another 3 to go. So we've been working on that. And then just kind of keeping the gears, keeping the finely honed machine that is Place to Be Nation pop running. That's my responsibility. So making sure everybody gets their shit in and has time to shine. So
and doing a great job at that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we are achieving previously unreached heights with the network. So got a lot of great shows, got a lot of people stepping up and doing things that, you know, I've got the DC For You podcast just coming out in about a month or so. And that will be a weekly show with me and Russell talking about all things DC.
Nice.
That's a nice weekly half hour show. So that one's going to go well. And you know, I'm still the manager of the longest running weekly episodic comic book podcast in all of Place to Be Nation, the Hard Traveling Fanboys. That's still my primary focus. You know, the ownership of the podcast feed comes second to my managerial responsibilities to the fanboys.
Oh yes. We all understand that. The rest of the peons on the feed. Speaking of which, we had a Talk and Pop last month. We haven't scheduled a new one yet, but that will probably be coming soon. And then you can hear me and Tim and Greg on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, where we have a new episode of Talking WCW. And we talked about the Steiner brothers in a really fun episode.
Have you been Steinerized?
Yes, I have. It was hot.
That is a Jimmy Hart theme song if ever there was one. Steinerized.
And what else have I done? I was on an episode of the Hard Traveling Fanboys in which we reviewed Avengers Endgame. And that's the first time I've ever cried on a podcast. So be sure to listen to that. And I think that's about it. Anything else? You want to mention?
Not that I can think of. I mean, keep keep posted. We've got lots of stuff coming up on the website. We've got a new tournament that we are resuming. The fabled 80s songs tournament will be up and running here pretty soon, where we'll be doing daily, I guess, rounds. And that's done through Facebook mostly,
right,
though.
Yeah.
So you got to like, what is the website, or the not the, what's the category you like on Facebook to get involved in that?
I think it's Place to Be Nation Tournament, something
Tournaments,
like that.
Something like that. If you put that into the search box, you should be able to find it. Because the last one was Candy, and we're done with Candy, and Reese's won. So,
yeah, it did.
Spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Reese's, I'm going to say, I'm saying Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now.
Reese's, that's how you say it.
That's not how you say it.
It is
that,
how you
that's
say it.
That's how I say it because you say it that way.
That's what you I'm know, saying.
It's not worth the fight.
I would never fight with you. What are you talking about?
Reese's. It's an apostrophe. It's an apostrophe, not a dotted I.
I don't know why I've always said that. Well, cause I'm a
when there was a gross southerner. Girl, like a gross girl who had a smell, we would call her Reesty. Oh, she's Reesty. Ooh. So that's what that word.
When there was a girl with a
with a bad or, smell.
With a bad smell. All right.
Yeah, you just imagine things were a mess down there. She's Reesty. Now you know I didn't do well in high school.
Either. There you go. Between that and the sailboat shirt, you were fucked, man.
Yeah.
Stood no chance.
And the crew cut and the. Yeah. Although, you know, in high school I had a job, I had money. I didn't have a car, but I was always rolling in it because I rolling in it relatively. I didn't spend all my money on comic books. But no, I don't know. I just wish that I could go back and say it's not worth it. Don't chase girls as much as you're chasing girls. They'll come to you. Be awesome.
There you go. Well, on that note,
yeah.
Everybody, go be awesome and don't watch this movie.
Don't watch Yoga Hosers.
Watch a better Kevin Smith movie, like Dogma.
which is not available anywhere.
Anywhere, yeah.
So. The rights are all tied up with the Weinsteins.
Yeah.
Sucks. That's the best guy of Kevin Smith movie easily.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Todd.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thank you for having me on Freak Out Drive-In.
40 for life, yo.
Word.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives for our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.